Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you're able to join me today as we conclude this message, Thy Kingdom Come. And we're looking at principles that were outlined under the Old Covenant, how God allowed His people to possess the kingdom. And we know that under the reign of David and Solomon, the kingdom was advanced and reached its furthest borders. David was a man of war, but he conquered. He never lost a battle. He conquered every enemy that was before him. And his son Solomon had a reign of peace as long as he followed the Lord. And when he, of course, began to wander from the Lord because of his many wives, and his heart was turned from God, well, then God began to take the kingdom from him. And we see that was established through his son Rehoboam, and the kingdom was divided. Nonetheless, there are important lessons that we can learn, and we see that when God's servant, you and I, brother and sister, when we start moving in the realm of kingly authority, the devil rises up. When you start walking in faith and believing God that you are going to take your promised land, that you're going to be victorious as Joshua was, as David was, defeating every enemy. David was a type of Christ, and we can identify that we can have, we're more than overcomers. Isn't that what the scriptures tell us? We're more than conquerors. We can have and enjoy victory because the battle is the Lord's, and He secured victory for us. So again, going to scripture, we see that in verse 12 of 2 Samuel 5, that David perceived the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people, Israel's sake. And so when David was established as king, and it says a little bit further that there were, he took more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem after he was come from Hebron, and there were sons and daughters born to David. In verse 17, it says, but when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hands. And we see that he had two battles with the Philistines before that unsuccessful attempt to bring up the ark. And the enemy challenges David's authority. David inquired of God, and God said, go up, for I will deliver them into your hand. And of course, it says that's exactly what happened. David smote them at Baal Perazim, and the Lord hath he said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters. And then in verse 21, it says, and there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. But then we see a second, more warfare. The Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord and said, asking him what he should do. And the Lord said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until they come to Gezer. So we see that there was a second battle, but the strategy the Lord provided was completely different. And so what can we learn from this? We see that even though the situation might appear to be the same, David was not depending on his own military expertise, his own strategies. He was declaring and representing a complete dependency upon God for his instruction as well as his timing. Because the Lord said, when you hear a rustling in the mulberry trees, then that's when you should go out. And so, beloved, if we would have effective spiritual warfare, if we would accomplish the things God wants us to accomplish, if we are going to be successful in conquering our Canaan, we have to wait upon the Lord's timing, upon his instructions, and be completely dependent upon him and not upon our own reasoning or our own plans. And it says further on in that chapter, the fame of David went out into all lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. Beloved, there is a parallel for us in this time, in this hour in which we are living. We also are to take a kingdom. And this time, it's not for the reign of an earthly king, like it was for in the time of Israel when David had an earthly reign up in Jerusalem. But, beloved, we now have the great privilege of being those ambassadors, if you will, to be as even John the Baptist, who is preparing the way of the Lord for the literal return of the King of Kings. Jesus is coming again. And beloved, this entire week, as I've shared all these many scriptures, what are the themes, what are the patterns, the fabrics that can be weaved together? Well, we see the importance of unity. If we want to take the kingdom, remember, all the tribes were united back in the time of Joshua, and Joshua was successful. He totally had subdued 31 kings, and when they gathered at Shiloh, the Lord had given them peace. It was then the task of the individual tribe to subdue his particular area that they were given. And of course, they were not successful in doing that, but nonetheless, that was what God's plan was. He mentions in Exodus, again in Deuteronomy, that he would drive out the Canaanites little by little. And so we see that the work of taking the kingdom is a gradual work. Beloved, it's a gradual work in our own lives where we have to be united in our own person. Unite my heart to fear thy name, David prayed. Body, soul, and spirit, we need to be fully surrendered to the Lord. And we must be willing to do whatever warfare is necessary to dislodge the Jebusites. In other words, as I shared that parallel, just as the Jebusites were, they weren't hostile to Israel. They were just, you know, occupied Jerusalem for 500 years. Yet that they could not stay there because that was to be the very ruling place of David, and Jerusalem had an eternal destiny. This represents satanic strongholds, and beloved, we have to be willing to submit to the Lord and to allow the Lord to give us victory over the work of the enemy in our own lives, habits, attitudes, things that trip us up, that hold us back. Beloved, God wants us through the power of the Holy Spirit. We serve a king who has never been defeated. David also, as a type of Christ, was never defeated. The Jebusites taunted him and said, you'll never be able to make it. This is an impregnable fortress. No way can you come in here. Well, the scriptures don't give details, but he surely did. He dislodged the Jebusites, and then we see there was spiritual warfare that he had to engage in. Whenever you start pressing into God, don't be surprised. Some of you right now, you're really with all of your heart trying to move closer to the Lord, to walk in obedience, and it seems like all hell is breaking loose. Well, that's exactly right, because that's, you know, David was no sooner king, and the Philistines heard about it, and they arrayed and massed their forces and came against him twice, and God gave victory by using two different military strategies, which indicates and illustrates the necessity for our complete dependency upon God and waiting for his instructions and timing, whatever God's calling us to do. And then, beloved, we know also there was a restoration of worship. And beloved, that God is coming to a church judgment begins at the house of the Lord. He's cleansing his temple. He is bringing us into a knowledge of God's word. He's causing us to increase in a godly fear of the Lord, to walk in obedience to him. Beloved, these are the things that are necessary for us to take our spiritual kingdom, to obey the word of the Lord as we pray that beautiful prayer that Jesus gave us, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's God's desire of the ages. As he started with a perfect earth, and he placed in a beautiful garden Adam and Eve, our first parents, and everything was perfect, everything was beautiful until sin entered. God has not ceased, he has not stopped in his divine plan to restore man unto himself, that fellowship which sin had broken. And it was through the atoning life and death of Jesus Christ that everyone who thirsts can drink freely of the waters of life. Jesus desires that not any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, to receive that cleansing flow from Calvary. Beloved, this is what the privilege God has given to the people of this earth. If they will hearken to his call, the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And if we will come, beloved, we will again enjoy the beauties of God's kingdom restored to this natural earth when Jesus returns. And we are partakers of it even now. The kingdom is within us, that we can have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, which is the kingdom of God. And we can spread that righteousness, that peace, and that joy wherever we go, and we can see his kingdom come. I will close with a couple of scriptures, Psalm 2 and 8. "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." And Psalm 149, verses 6, "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints." Praise God. Well, I must bring this broadcast to a close. Thank you for joining me. Until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, "May God's best forever be yours," is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.